Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are thankful that God calls us to worship Him and that we may come into His presence this morning with reverence and awe to praise and glorify His name. We also extend a warm welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us in worship via the live stream today. May we all be strengthened and edified by the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Consistory has the following announcements. Sister Kiera Kramer and Brother Jaden Brolsmer from the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs have indicated their intentions to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinances of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to His glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, Sunday, the 5th of December at 1 p.m. at the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. Sister Coral de Snoo and Brother Cameron Fass of the Free Reformed Church of Mount Azura have indicated their intentions to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to His glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, Friday the 11th of December at 11 a.m. at the Free Reformed Church of Mount Azura with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. And a station has been requested by Sister Kiera Kramer to the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott. We wish her the Lord's blessing in her new congregation. This morning we will welcome Reverend Van der Yacht, Emeritus Minister of our Sister Church at Byford, to the pulpit. And this afternoon, Reverend Soman, Minister of our Sister Church at Kelmscott, will lead the worship service. Before we commence, let us sing Psalm 116, verse 1 and 10.
Salutation, we will sing Psalm 85, the verses 1 and 2. Lift up your heart unto God. As congregation, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. We now, with all respect, put ourselves under the discipline of the holy law of the Lord, and let us test our lives on it as on the rule of thankfulness. And after the reading of the law, we respond singing Psalm 85, the verses 3 and 4. God speaks all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do not any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Thank you.
families in prayer, and in our prayer we bring before the Lord the passing away and pending funeral of Ina Hiddink, the mother, mother-in-law, and Oma, brother and sister, Chris and Kylie Hiddink, and their children. In the past week, Elijah Vermeulen, the young son of brother and sister Lisa and Jonah Vermeulen, was in hospital for a few days because of a staph infection, but thankfully he is back home again. And brother Wayne Fister and his son Mitchell had both an ankle reconstruction surgery, which was successful. We also thank the Lord that Reverend Feldman celebrated his 45 years in the ministry this past week, and not, as was mistakenly mentioned, that Reverend and Mrs. Feldman's 44th wedding anniversary was there in the past week. Let us pray. Mighty God, King of all the earth, our light and salvation, we bow down before you to honor and glorify your name. You are the Almighty God, the strength of our lives. You are good and upright. You are merciful to us, and you have set us before your face forever. You are the great King over all the earth, and as our Savior, you have given our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, all authority in heaven and on earth. And through him you govern all things. You are great and greatly to be praised. Your hand is full of righteousness and mercy. And we are thankful and happy that you are willing to be our God. For as our God, you will be our guide as well. You have done everything for us. You have shown your love in sending your Son, and you have given him for the complete forgiveness of our sins. And we are in need of the forgiveness of our sins. We have to humble ourselves before you. By nature, we are inclined to hate you and our neighbor. We are conceived and born in sin. And in ourselves, we are unable to do any good and inclined to all evil. Unless we are regenerated by your Spirit. And therefore, everything we could do according to your will, it was your grace. And all things in which we have sinned against your commandments, it was our sin, our fault. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. And we will have to appear before him. And all our deeds and thoughts will be publicly uncovered. This thought is horrible and shocking. And therefore we ask you, in Christ, do not enter into judgment with us. The thought, for in your sight no one is righteous. We are completely dependent on your grace, for you have sent your Son into this world. He was born in the likeness of man, and he assumed a real human nature without sin. And he assumed that nature in which our disobedience had been committed. And you laid our iniquity on him, and you poured out your mercy on us, who are guilty and worthy of damnation. And through him we may obtain immortality and life eternal. Thanks to your grace, there is no damnation for all who are in Christ. We come to you in the name of Christ, and we ask you, impute to us all his merits, and keep us by your Spirit with him in communion of all his benefits, for they are more than sufficient to acquit us of our sins. May your Son Jesus Christ sanctify us in the truth, and lead to the truth those who are not listening at the moment. And therefore also bless the preaching of your word all over the world, and bless also this preaching of the words among us. And bless all the work that is done in supporting the preaching of the gospel. We confess that we are dependent on your words. And for that reason we ask you to bless the preaching of the gospel among us. Work with your word and spirit in our hearts. And we are thankful for that for 45 years our minister emeritus, Reverend Feldman, has preached your words. We are thankful for the preaching in our own congregation, but also elsewhere, and ask you to give what is necessary also in the time to come for him and his wife. You have chosen the church to be pillar and ground of the truth. We may live in a free country, and make us and our children faithful in our contact with you, that we meditate your word daily, and that there is an increase in faithfulness in our personal lives. We pray for this world. All the victims of war, violence and disaster, comfort them, help them, and give that they may hear and cling to your gospel, the only comfort in life and death. Especially also your people are persecuted because of their faith. Give that they receive the strength to profess their faith in words and deeds. We pray for our government. We are thankful that the effects of the coronavirus pandemic is minimal in WA. Give that our government is willing to ease the restrictions for the churches in the same way as those in authority have done for all sorts of secular gatherings. Give all in authority in our local community, the level of our state and federation, what is necessary to rule our country according to your words. We are all weak people in adversities, but also in the prosperity of our life. We are in danger to go astray. And therefore give all of us the perseverance of faith. For it is only possible to persevere thanks to your faithfulness. And we plead upon your promises to be with your children when they serve you, to serve you with our entire heart. Bless all the work done in your kingdom. You have blessed us in several ways. We express our thankfulness because of all the good things we have received. Our health, our task to do, our work, the essentials of life, clothing, food, and much more. You have blessed us in abundance. And again, you have preserved our lives and the lives of our loved ones. We commend to you all who face difficulties and those who are confronted with illnesses, some already for a longer period of time. Comfort all who are grieving because of their loved ones. We bring before you Brother and Sister Chris and Kylie Hidding, their children and relatives. Now they have to prepare themselves for the funeral of their mother, mother-in-law, Oma and Hidding, coming Tuesday. Give that they and all our grieving find strength in your promises that those who pass away in Christ are with you, and that you will wipe away all our tears in due time, because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give strength to go to the cemetery in faith, with the sure knowledge that your children are with you eternally. And we pray you be with us in all our circumstances. We are thankful that Brother Wayne Fister and his son Mitchell could return home after the ankle reconstruction surgery. Bless the healing process. Give also Elijah Vermeulen what is necessary for further recovery, and give his parents, brother and sister Lisa and Jonah Vermeulen, what is necessary to care, and give that staph infection will disappear, and help us all that we serve you and praise your name in whatever circumstances. Help us to use all your gifts in a responsible way, that we will serve you and promote your kingdom. We ask you, guide our lives and give us the strength to show our thankfulness in our walk of life.
When we count our blessings, Lord, we have no time enough to praise your name. Let therefore our whole life here on earth be a demonstration of thankfulness in everything we do. To you, the alone wise God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. I ask now your attention for your thank offering for the work of mission in PNG. And due to the restrictions, you are able to give your gifts when leaving the church or via electronic means. The consistory has mentioned to you. And while considering your gifts, it is important to remember what the Lord has said in Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us sing together Psalm 57, the verses 1, 3 and 5. The text for this morning is chosen from the book of Genesis, Genesis 9, verse 12 to 17. And it is for this reason that we will read three passages from Scripture. We start our scripture reading in Genesis 8, and we'll read from verse 15 till chapter 9, verse 17. Then we'll continue our scripture reading in 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 1 to 18. And then we will finalize our scripture reading with reading from the Revelation, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. But first, Genesis 8, and we start reading verse 15. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and even every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from its youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I gave you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from every man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it." Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds and the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the water of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Now we'll continue our scripture reading in the second epistle of Peter, 2 Peter 3, and we'll read the verses 1 to 18. 2 Peter 3. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets at the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days, this scoffing, following their own sinful desire. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the Father fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged by its water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the God? Because of it the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, my beloved, since you are waiting for this, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also writes to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks of them, in them, of these letters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, with the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And we'll read then a part from the book of Revelation, Revelation 4, verse 1 to 11. Revelation 4. After this, I, the Apostle John, looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I have heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you that what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes from light, and rumblings, and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God, and before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." Let's then read the word of the text for this morning, Genesis 9, the verses 12 to 17. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I will make between Me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set My bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between Me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember My covenant that is between Me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between Me and all flesh that is on the earth." In response to the gospel, we will sing as our Amen song, hymn 76, the verses 1, 3, and 4. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the most extraordinary and beautiful natural wonders is the rainbow. It intrigues everybody. And rainbows have fascinated people throughout the ages. There are many things you could consider about rainbows. You all may know that the rainbow is a bent or curved line in the sky composed or consisting of seven colors: red, orange, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Students are sometimes taught to remember those colors by the name of Mr. Roy G. Biff. Roy, red, orange, yellow, G, green, Biff, blue, indigo, violet. Roy G. Biff. More scientifically, however, a rainbow is an arch of concentric colored bands that develops when sunlight interacts with raindrops. Sunlight is refracted as it enters a raindrop, which causes the different wavelengths of visible light. And the different wavelengths of visible light separate and become different colors. Longer wavelengths of light, such as red, are bent the least, while shorter wavelengths of violet and blue are bent the most. And it all has to do, interestingly enough, with the angle in which the sun shines through the different raindrops. And as you can imagine, rainbows have been the subject of myth and mystery all over the world. In the Albanian culture, for instance, the rainbow is believed to be the belt of the goddess of beauty. In some parts of the world, the rainbow is believed to be the cause of droughts, because the rainbow appears when there is water, and so the superstition is that the rainbow is like a sponge and pulls up water from the earth. And that is what creates droughts. And there are all kinds of strange and evil myths. I think perhaps the most familiar superstition about the rainbow is that there is a bunch of little Irish dwarfs. They've got a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Or a far less trivial note, the homosexuals have adopted the rainbow as a sign of their godless perversion. But it is already clear from their sign that they don't even understand the natural concept of creation, the natural concept of sexuality. The sign of their infidelity has only six colors, while the real rainbow, as sign of God's covenant, has, as mentioned, seven colors. And therefore, what is the real meaning of the rainbow? For it is clear that the rainbow does have an immense meaning. It has immense significance, none of which is captured by that rather strange list of superstitions I just mentioned. And to make a long story short, the rainbow teaches us God's patience among the nations. The rainbow teaches us the beginning of God's patience among the nations, the first aspect we will see. The rainbow teaches us the continuation of God's patience among the nations, the second aspect we will see. And the rainbow teaches us the end of God's patience among the nations, the third and last aspect we will see. In short, the rainbow teaches us God's patience among the nations. And we'll see the beginning of God's patience, the continuation, and the end of God's patience among the nations. Brothers and sisters, although we have to say that God's whole creation is before our eyes as a most beautiful book, wherein all creatures lead us to perceive clearly the invisible attributes of God, namely His eternal power and His divine nature, there is only one thing you will see in the sky that is a sign given by God. There is only one thing that God has placed there with a specific spiritual message, and that is the rainbow. And you could even say it is so important that the Lord addresses the whole human race after the flood in three speeches. The first one started in verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And then there is a second address that starts in verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And the third discourse can be seen as a summary. Verse 17. "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Three speeches from God to the family of Noah, the eight people that constitute the entire population of the earth in that time. And so what God says in these three speeches to Noah, his wife, three sons and their wives, is essentially God's message to all humanity, because all mankind is constituted in those eight people. Just before the Lord addresses Noah, he has come out of the ark. He enters into a new world at the beginning of chapter 9. And in the verses 1 to 7 of this chapter, Noah and his families were told what they had to do. They have to reproduce. They have to rule. They have to eat. And they have to execute those who took life, capital punishment. But now, God is telling Noah and his family what he is going to do. God's exhortation to Noah now becomes a promise from God. And the main point is that God is going to make a covenant. And God's promise is a very simple one. "I will never do again what I just did. I will never again drown the world in a universal flood. He will never again destroy the entire planet like this." And as you can imagine, this is very important news for Noah. There was no rain, apparently, before the flood. Remember, the earth was protected by a water vapor canopy that made the entire planet uniform in its sort of a kind of semi-tropical climate. And he had not known rain. And that made a very pleasant kind of weather in a very protected kind of environment where the ultraviolet rays of the sun were filtered out. And so men lived to be almost 1,000 years old, and animals lived to be very, very old. Hence reptiles, the animals that grow all their lives, become dinosaurs. There was no rain. And what happened? At the flood, it rained for the first time. The earth exploded. Gas and material went into the sky, broke up the canopy. It came down as water and diluted the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, until literally, with that, the fountains of the deep underneath the earth, the great reservoirs of water in the belly of the earth, belching forwards, literally covering the entire planet. And now, in the new world, rain is going to be common. In the new world, it is going to rain regularly all over the planet as God moves the water in the hydrological cycle. It is evaporated up out of the ocean, goes into the clouds, carried across the land, deposited on the land, falls on the land, runs into streams, runs into rivers, runs back into the sea, and the hydrological cycle works like that. And water is absolutely critical to man's life since. Rain is very important for us. So this rain is going to fall from God as a blessing on the just and the unjust. It is going to make things grow. It is necessary for life. The rain is providing beauty on the earth and food. Rain is going to be common. But Noah didn't yet know that. If you go to someone who lives in the Netherlands, for instance, and say, how do you like the rain? He might say, well, I don't mind the rain. You can't get used to it. You know, for almost the whole year it is cloudy. We have adjusted to live like this, with the rain. But if you said to Noah, tell us, Noah, what do you think of rain? That question alone would make his heart stop. I'm 600 years old, he might have said, and I've only seen it once, and it was devastating. First thing that happens in the earth, that the earth starts to crack and explode. Volcanic eruptions happen everywhere. Throws material into the sky. Then it comes down along with underground reservoirs gushing up, totally flooding the ground. Great caverns are formed in the earth as the water rushes into them. Mountains are pushed up to very high peaks. The temperatures change, everything is different, death and destruction everywhere. Really, I don't like rain. Just the thought of it was already frightening, if not paralyzing. And with the first drop that hit his forehead, he might have grabbed Mrs. Noah and the children and headed back to the ark and said, we get better in, it's going to rain again. And there is another reason as well why Noah is so afraid of the rain, the flood. He knew himself and the family very well. And therefore Noah could be very sure, as the saying goes, l'histoire se répète, that history repeats itself. Why? Because even surviving the flood, man had not changed one little bit. Because if you can remember, it was emphatically stated in the book of Genesis. Why did the flood come? Just before the great flood, we read, I will blot out men whom I have created from the face of the land, men and animals and creeping things and birds of heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them, said the Lord. At the onset of world history, the sin of mankind immediately rose to a high. Man and woman, curses the ground for your sake. And Cain and Abel followed their parents' pattern. The first thing ended in the disaster of the great flood. But what will happen now, after the flood, with Noah and his descendants? Did they change? Were they a family of people without sin? What would Noah's descendants be in the future? With Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth came out of the ark, and from these three brothers the whole earth was populated. And the anxious question arose, would the Lord destroy the world again? There would be reasons enough. Noah himself becomes drunk and he uncovered himself. Ham made a joke of his father. And all the generation that followed, they are not willing to serve the Lord, but said, let us make a name for ourselves, building the Tower of Babel. Would the Lord again say that he was sorry that he had made man on the earth? Yes. Noah realized that he and his children found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these words are crucial. Why did Noah survive? And why did he not drown in the great flood? Did he owe this to his own efforts? Was it his own excellence? No, definitely not. Noah did not take the initiative to build the ark. He and everyone and everything in the ark were kept. He and his family were indebted simply and solely to the grace and the mercy of God. Noah and his family were saved because God's promises are reliable. The promises of God can't be shaken. The Lord himself had given the promise of the deliverance. And his promise can't be broken. Once he had said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, I will give deliverance. Therefore your head shall be bruised, you will be destroyed. But through the God-given seed of the woman, the world will be delivered. And the Lord is faithful to his once given words. And the rainbow in the sky is a sign thereof. It shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Noah, don't be anxious for yourself and your descendants. I guarantee you that the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. There shall never be such a disaster anymore. Behold, I've told you, I shall stick to my words. And Noah has to realize that by grace he and his family have been saved. And he realized that very well. Noah built an altar. Yes, he just offered animals, but he offered in faith. He has the sure knowledge and the firm confidence that the sacrifice will be sacrificed and that the promised seed shall come to whitewash him and all the believers from all his descendants. And it is this sacrifice of Noah's faith that was a soothing aroma before the Lord. For then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And as a sign thereof, I give the earth the rainbow. From now on, everyone may see in this bow my patience among the nations. For as long as the earth will exist, everyone can see what I did, that I did not abandon this world. I work towards a new heaven and a new earth. Men and animals receive the guarantee that there will never ever be another flood that destroys the earth. Noah, don't be afraid when it starts raining again. Whether the people will believe it or not does not really matter. The Lord will remember the covenant with every living creature for all generations. It will be an eternal covenant. The Lord will show his patience among the nations, his long suffering towards us, his patience when we fall into sin. There shall never be a flood again. And every time when I see the rainbow in the cloud of heaven, I know that the Lord will keep his promise. The Lord will continue with his world. Even when the ungodly and wicked one curse against heaven, and sin will increase in this world, The Lord will not destroy this world love. He did in the days of Noah. Never again there will be a great flood. Well then, it is this promise that marks our lives and gives us room to live a life of faith and repentance. Remember, as the Apostle Peter writes, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We can be thankful, because the Lord did not abandon his creation. He shows his patience among the nations. He shows his patience towards us. We have to be thankful, because the Lord shows his grace and mercy, and our life is safe with the Lord. Yes, when the rainbow embraces the one end of the firmament and the other, you are reminded of the strong and all-encompassing arms of the Lord, with which he embraces his creation and all nations in his long-suffering and patience. And with this gesture, he grants you the opportunity to shelter at his heart. And this brings to the second aspect. As wide as the creation is, so great is God's patience. And that becomes obvious when his bow is in the cloud. The bow goes from one side of the horizon to the other side. Everything is linked together here. Because thanks to God's patience and long-suffering, the Lord has given the opportunity to serve him in thankfulness. For with the promises the Lord gives, he goes back to the beginning of this world. At the creation, God had said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That is the mandate for mankind in the beginning. And the Lord comes to Noah and all the living creatures with his covenant of patience, so that again men can and will realize this mandate given at the beginning of the world. Never a great flood again means the Lord gives room, space, time, possibilities to serve the Lord in the continuation of the history, in the continuation of this world. The Lord makes room for the covenant with Abraham at his seed, because through this covenant with man and beast, the Lord creates room and time to gather his church in the world. With this covenant of Noah, the road to the new Jerusalem is paved. The way you have to walk in faith, the church, who knows that in Christ all the fullness of God has pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. The rainbow gives as a sign to the world, witnesses God's faithfulness. And the Lord still shows his long suffering. And every time you see his bow, he demonstrates his patience. And why does he do that? Well, first of all, he made room for the cross of Christ. He kept working in the history of the world. He gave his son. And he made room so that he could show his compassion and long-suffering in his son, so that everyone who believes will not perish, but will receive eternal life. God's wrath against sin was upon his son on Golgotha. There will be never again a great flood again. God has reconciled the world to himself through the blood of his son. And the rainbow in the clouds is his sign that this peace has to be praised to all creatures and that everyone who believes will be saved. The covenant with all the living creatures in Noah's days created the possibility to flee from the wrath to come. And this is clear from the continuation of the gospel. One time, Christ will come again. Then the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will be ruined. This time, it will not be by the waters of a flood. The elements will be ruined by a sea of fire. The elements will melt with fervent heat, said the Apostle Peter. And both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And for this reason, every time when you see the rainbow in the clouds as a sign of God's patience and long-suffering, you also hear the ultimatum the Lord gives. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And woe betide the one who did not flee to Christ. And says the Apostle Peter, since all these things will be dissolved by fire, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and holiness? Every time when we see the rainbow, we are comforted. Because the rainbow reminds us of God's everlasting faithfulness, his mercy, his compassion, his patience among the nations. And we'll gain a lot of comfort out of it. What a great thing it is that we know that the Lord is merciful and compassionate. On the other hand, the sign of the covenant of Noah speaks another language as well. Every time when you see the rainbow, you must hear the appeal, what did you do with your life? Did you glorify the Lord for every day he has given you? Did you show your thankfulness in your godly walk of life? Did you trust me when you did not receive what you had expected? Did you rely on me during the hard times of your life? Did you rejoice in the Lord always? Have you been anxious for nothing? So that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving you made your request known to God? Did you realize that you have been saved by grace? And do you live accordingly? We may see in the bow in the clouds God's patience among the nations. The bow is also an appeal to acknowledge God in his loving care for your life. Patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, a firm confidence that no creature to separate from Christ's love in Christ, a life overflowing with thankfulness about the gracious deliverance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every time you see the rainbow, you are reminded of this. The Lord does not want you to perish. He wants you all to come to repentance. And for this reason, he established a covenant with all living creatures. Never again there will be a flood covering the earth. Later, the fire will come. The Lord will purify the world. He will burn the sin away. He will take all your burdens away. For everyone who believes and goes to Christ in thankful amazement about his grace will be rescued out of this burning fire of God's wrath. But woe to those who reject the love of God and Jesus Christ. He will be cast into the everlasting fire. And this brings us to the third aspect. The end of God's patience among the nations. The Lord is busy fulfilling all his promises. And this is the message of the book of Revelation. The Lord is busy bringing his kingdom into completion. The realm of Satan will disappear and will be displaced by the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Well then, before the Lord shows John the actual battle in this world, he grants him and us a peep behind the scenes of everything. For the consolation and strengthening of the congregation, the Apostle John is swept up in the Spirit to the very door of heaven. And there he beholds a vision of a sovereign God in full command of the course of human affairs. On the plane of history, the Church appears unable to resist the might of hostile worldly powers. But the course of history is not determined by political power, but by God enthroned and active. And the Apostle John received the invitation to come up to heaven. And John sees a door standing open in the vaults of heaven. We do not hear whether John goes through the door into heaven or only towards the door to look within. But one thing is clear. The first thing that draws his attention is a throne. Behold, a throne. It is the central figure in the whole vision. The term throne occurs 17 times in the chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation. And that throne is not on earth, but in heaven. It stands in the Holy of Holies of the heavenly temple, just as the Ark of the Covenant stood in the Holy of Holies of the earthly tabernacle or temple. And one is sitting on the throne. And in his splendid majesty upon the throne sits the Lord God Almighty. No, it is impossible to give a clear picture of God. What the Apostle describes is not God himself. He cannot be described. He is dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. He does not appear in a human form. He is portrayed as the brilliance of light, reflecting from precious stones. Just like the psalmist speaks of God who covered himself with light, as with a garment. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Various meanings have been attached to the different stones. But it's better to see the gems as part of an overall description belonging to the whole outfit of a king. And round about the throne, John saw the rainbow. And this calls to our minds the covenant God made with Noah, promising him that the world should never more be destroyed as in the floods. It is a reminder of God's grace and faithfulness, with a view to all his works. Everything in this vision served the aim to show us the majesty and the glory of our God Almighty, who sits on the throne in heaven in his awesome majesty and glory. And it serves to remind us as believers who are living in the shadow of impending persecution, that the omnipotent and omniscient God is on his throne in heaven, and he is in control of everything. In our lives, in our society, it seems that everything is uncertain. There is an increase of violence and lawlessness. It are the effects of sin. Think of abortion, euthanasia, drugs, homosexuality, you name it. We hear of physical persecution in China, North Korea, the Muslim countries, to mention a few. But before you become afraid and anxious, remember there is a throne in heaven and that the Almighty God rules. Although things must happen in this world, but they do not happen by chance. Our Almighty God sits on His throne and He is in charge of everything. Everything happens according to His will. And every day He is reminded of the rainbow. He leads everything towards His victory. For there is that rainbow around His throne. He fulfills His counsel and will concerning our redemption. And nothing and nobody can obstruct this. It is the Lord who cares. Therefore in Him we trust. Even when the environmental problems increase, when the corona pandemic hits the world, even when through sickness or death life becomes more difficult, there is an important reason to trust the Lord. The Lord is faithful forever. The bow of His patience is around the throne, and therefore the Lord, who knows your difficulties and problems, your sorrows and tensions, He lets you not down, but He will give what is necessary to serve Him in thankfulness all the days of your life, in the circumstances you live in. The bow in the clouds, His grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you have, and whoever you are, let that be the great comfort of the bow in the air for you. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Father in heaven, we acknowledge that we are weak people, and therefore we are so thankful that you have given us a reminder in the rainbow, the reminder of your faithfulness, that never again you will destroy this world by a flood. And we are thankful that you give us living space, and that it is not necessary to be afraid, but that in everything we may cling to our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give them the strength to be faithful in our thankfulness, and give therefore also your Spirit, so that we may live according to your words and are heading for that final day you have set, when our Lord Jesus Christ will return to take all his children after himself. Father, we know that then he will destroy this world, that people will go to hell, and therefore, Lord, give them also that in during this time of your compassion and grace, people may turn to you, so that they are taken by Christ as well. Lord, give what is necessary to live before you in holiness, and let the rainbow be our encouragement. Amen. Our closing song is hymn 77, the verses 1, 2 and 3. Lift up your hearts unto God, receive the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.